وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for your commitment to his beautiful deen and for your sacrifices for this Mubarak deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن ذلك الفوز العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, we're going to be sharing with you the stories of the great Sahaba, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in, the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. We're first going to be discussing Hazrat Sayyidina Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala an. His name was Talha, his kunniyat was Abu Muhammad, his father's name was Ubaidullah, and his mother's name was Sa'bah. His lineage meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the seventh level with Murrah ibn Ka'ab. He is from amongst the early adherents of Islam and from amongst the Ashara Mubashara. The Ashara Mubashara are the 10 Sahabis who have been given glad tidings of Jannah. He was from amongst those who remained steadfast with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the Battle of Uhud, and protected him with his life and hands to the extent that they became paralyzed, and he suffered 24 injuries on his body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam referred to him as Talha al-Khair, the Talha who brings goodness. His daily expenses amounted to 100 dirhams. He gave 100,000 dirhams in charity on a single day, while he himself needed a kurta, a long shirt, to go to the masjid, but he did not purchase one. Here are some of his profound statements. He says that the person who spends the night with possessions of this world in his house is living a life of deception. He does not know what type of calamity will afflict him at night from Allah Ta'ala. He would not get sleep if he had dinars with him, and he would certainly distribute them the next morning. In the book A'yan al-Hujjaj, It is related from his wife, Su'da, who said, he entered the house one day and he appeared very grief-stricken. I asked him if anything was wrong, and he replied, the wealth which I have has really increased, and I'm quite troubled by this. I said, what is there to be troubled about? Give it out and distribute it to the poor. So he immediately distributed all his wealth amongst the needy, and did not leave a single dirham. His treasurer states that this wealth totaled 400,000 dirhams. Now, such was a lofty level of Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala and his fear of Allah Ta'ala. He could not bear spending a single night with all this wealth. His wife, Hazrat Su'da radiallahu ta'ala anha, enjoys a loftier level for having expressed her eagerness to spend such a large amount of money in charity. Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was certainly fortunate, and so was his wife, as per her name, which means fortunate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire all men and women to be like them. And a person rightly said, when Allah ta'ala subjugates people to a fortunate person, they also become fortunate. He was martyred in 36 year of Hijri in the Battle of Jamal. His grave is well known in Basra and many people visit it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Now we're going to be discussing Hazrat Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala an. His name was Zubair. His father was Awam and his mother was Safiya. His lineage meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Qusay ibn Kilab. He had a lot of debts at the time of his death. So people asked him in this regard, so he said to his children, whenever you encounter any difficulty in paying my debts, you must make this dua. Ya Mawla Zubair, iqdi daynahu. O the master of Zubair, pay off his debts for him. Allah Ta'ala paid off all his debts, which amounted to approximately 2.2 million dirhams. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a paternal uncle who used to wrap him in a straw mat, suspend him, smoke him with fire and say, revert to kufr. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu would reply, now that you are compelling me, I can never ever revert to kufr. He owned 1,000 slaves who would give their earnings to him daily, but he would give it all to them as charity in the same assembly. He would not keep a single dirham for himself. He's also from the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahabis who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. And he was also amongst the early companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the year 36 Hijri in the Battle of Jamal. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu related the following hadith on the occasion of his martyrdom. Give the good news of the hellfire to the one who killed Zubair. Hazrat Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, let's discuss briefly about him as well. His name was Sa'ad. His father was Malik and his mother Hamna. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhum was a maternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make mention of this relationship repeatedly. He was from amongst the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahabis who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, and he was from the early adherents of Islam. He was the first Arab to shoot arrows against the enemies in Allah's cause. He accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in all the battles. He did not side with any group when the Muslims had differences amongst their ranks. His approach was greatly admired by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said with regard to him, assuming this approach is a sin, it is a minor sin. And if it is meritorious, is a very great act of piety. There was a dispute between himself and Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala. A person came to him and complained about Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala to him, so he replied, the dispute which exists between us has not affected our dini relationship. You may leave and do not mention such things to me. Now, if we were to adopt such an approach today, we will save ourselves from many disputes and problems. So it is especially necessary within our religious circles to also practice this. He made a bequest regarding the cloak which he wore in the Battle of Badr to be used as his shroud, his kafan. His bequest was carried out. He passed away in the 55th year of Hijri. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Hazrat Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an. Another Sahabi we're discussing this morning. His name was Sa'id. His father was Zayd. And his mother was Fatima. Hazrat Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu's lineage meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Ka'b ibn Luway and was with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an at Nufail. He was also from amongst the Ashara Mubashara and a Sahabi whose du'as were readily accepted. Arwa binti Anas radiallahu ta'ala anha made a claim before Marwan that Sa'id ibn Zayd usurped a portion of a land. So Hazrat Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Allah, if she is lying, cause her to become blind and destroy her on her land. She did not die until she became blind. She was walking on a lane one day and she fell into a pit and died. Now this shows that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu did indeed make badwa, you know, to show their honesty and their truthfulness. He passed away in Aqiq in the year 55 AH. He was brought to Medina Munawwara and buried there. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. We're going to be discussing Hazrat Sa'id Abu Muhammad Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His name was Abdul Rahman. His father was Auf and his mother's name was Shafa'. Hazrat Abdul Rahman's original radiallahu ta'ala anhu's original name was Abdi Amr. When he embraced Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed it to Abdul Rahman. He's also from amongst the Ashara Mubashara and an early adherent to Islam. He became terrified when he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Abdul Rahman will have to drag himself into paradise. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about his fear. He said to him, "Give an excellent loan in Allah's cause, and he will give expansion in your feet." Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam then descended and instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to order Ibn Auf to be hospitable, to feed the guests, to feed the hungry, and to give to beggars. If he does all this, it will be an atonement for him from his present condition. His intense fear and humility caused him to live amongst his slaves in a manner which made it difficult to differentiate between the master and the slaves. In some of his profound statements, he was fasting one day. When the evening meal was presented to him, he said, "Musab ibn Umair was better than me. He had absolutely nothing when he was martyred. He was enshrouded in a sheet, which was so small that when his head was covered, his feet were exposed. And when his feet were covered, his head was exposed. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was also better than me. When he was martyred, there was just one sheet for his coffin. Now all the treasures of the world have been granted to us. I fear we are probably receiving the rewards of our good deeds in this very world, and we will get nothing in the hereafter." Saying this, he began crying and did not eat his food. Some food was presented to him one day, so he said, "Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this world without having filled his stomach with wheat bread. We are receiving so much food, and so I do not think this condition of abundant food and comfort is better for us than the previous conditions of poverty." Although he was very wealthy, he was never heedless of the hereafter. In like manner, he had no love whatsoever for affluence and wealth, and he never assumed a distinguished position for himself. When he was amongst his slaves, one could not distinguish the master from the slaves. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala an and as Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala an used to read the following dua most of the time while performing tawaf of the Kaaba. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. O Allah, give us the good of this world and the good of the hereafter, and protect us against the punishment of the hellfire. He passed away in 32 Hijri and was buried in Baqi, the graveyard of Medina Munawwara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Inshallah, Aziz, we will continue with the series on the lives of the Sahaba ikram, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Try and emulate them because they were the great examples and the companions of the beloved Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And may we embrace in our lives the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and do not consider and think of any sunnah to be trivial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.